In this session, we're going to talk about the hypostatic union. Those are big words and they sound complicated, but in reality, it's just a fancy way to say that Jesus was both God and man at the same time. The term hypostatic union comes from the Greek, meaning in substance that it is the same as a union of Christ's humanity and divinity in one, therefore hypostasis, or individual existence. In order to really gain a clear understanding of this, let's look first at the passage in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir over all things, through whom he also made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God, through the writer of the book of Hebrews, states that Jesus, number one, is his Son, and number two, that he, Jesus, is the express image of the Father. That's a very descriptive phrase, the express image. It's terminology that explains exactly what we're talking about. Jesus is the express image, the exact expression of the Father God, a precise reproduction in every aspect, a true and accurate facsimile. When Philip was pressing Jesus to show them the Father, Jesus said it a little differently. John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. John 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it will be sufficient for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" Jesus, in no uncertain terms, said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Or in other words, I am the exact representation of the Godhead. Where it becomes confusing for us is in the daily walk of Jesus here on the earth. While here, he chose to limit himself to being just like us, setting the God part of himself on the shelf, as it were. He was no less God when he walked the earth than when he sits on the throne in heaven. But he chose the limits of manhood to demonstrate for us how his life on earth is to be lived. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, Philippians 2, 5 through 11, we read this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and becoming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This passage gives us a full picture. We see Jesus in the form of God. We see Jesus in the likeness of man. In the form of, as it's used here, it means to manifest in substance what is unseen. In other words, being the visual representation of what is invisible. Jesus is the accurate picture of what God looks like. Not in his physical appearance, necessarily, although I'm sure that you would recognize the Father God from seeing Jesus, but to be an exact representation of all that God is in terms of his nature, his character, his behavior, his motivations, his values. All of these are represented in who Jesus was on the earth. It says that he chose this path, considering that it was not robbery to be equal with God. Well, how is he going to be equal with God if he's a man? The word equal with God here means to be equal in stature, equal in standing, equal in value, or to be the same as. In other words, when Jesus walked the earth, he didn't consider it robbery. He didn't consider it something that he had to steal in order to be like God. He did it because that's who he was. He also, at the same time, was found in the likeness of man. In other words, in the same way that he was completely a full representation of who God is, he was completely a representation of who man is supposed to be. In every appearance, in every way, he was man. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. This is the hypostatic union. We can easily show from Scripture that Jesus was present at creation. Genesis tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. The word used for God is Elohim, which is God in the plural form. John gives us insight into Jesus being there. If God is there in the plural form, then we have to come to an understanding that God is not just a single entity, but it is a trinity, as we believe, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who were all present at creation. In the beginning, we see God spoke, and it was so. Well, who was it that was speaking, and how did this all come to pass? Well, we know that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, was hovering over the face of the deep, waiting for the word to be spoken, that he could implement the thing that was spoken. But we read in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, John's explanation, in reality we can say the Father's explanation through John, of what was going on there. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let's just stop right there. The Word, Jesus, was God in the beginning, at creation. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or could not overwhelm it. This is Jesus that we're talking about. Jesus, the Word in the beginning. Jesus with God. Jesus on par with God at the beginning of creation. Let's go on down to verse 10. Verses 10 through 13. John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He, Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can you see it? Jesus is the one that we're talking about. Do you see that Jesus alone fulfills what's being said here? Let's go on, verses 14 through 18. John chapter 1, verses 14 through 18. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. That is, he has unfolded or revealed him to us. See? I told you this was talking about Jesus. And part of what Jesus did on the earth was to show us what God looks like by being just like him in this world. Remember, he is the express image of the person of God. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. This is the hypostatic union. When Jesus was born, God dispatched angels to announce the move of his Son from heaven to earth. You see, he existed before he was born. He existed as the Son at the right hand of the Father. Then the time came that God spoke his existence on earth as a man into existence through the prophets. The prophet's word was out there, and it had to germinate. And that germination took place when God the Father imparted his seed into Mary, and she became pregnant. And the Bible says that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit, that it wasn't something else going on, that the Holy Spirit imparted that seed into her, which combined with her egg and became Jesus. And then the time came in that little town of Nazareth when Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And there, he was born the Son of God. Like any proud father, the Father gave announcement to his birth. In Matthew chapter 1, we see verses 22 and 23. Matthew 1, 22 and 23. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." God spoke, the seed was imparted, the manifestation of his Son being born in the earth resulted in God with us. God in the form of Jesus walking the earth with us. Well, how did Jesus do this? To be quite frank, I have no idea. I won't begin to try and explain what happened here and how it happened. I do not know. That is something you will have to ask God. It's a God thing, and only he could make it happen. But let's look and see what it says and see what we can discover. The Bible says the Word was God. The Word and God were the same thing, the same person. The Bible says the world was made through him. Jesus formed and fashioned the universe and all that is in it. He is the Word, and he is the God who created. And yet at the same time, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. That is, he laid down that part of him which was equal with God, and he made it null and void, or he deprived it of force. He rendered useless and to no effect that part of him that was God. Not because he couldn't operate as God, not because it wasn't available to him, but he chose to set it aside so that he could be 100% man. Though Jesus was 100% God, like I said, he chose voluntarily to become man with all the limitations that that includes. Jesus did not draw on the power of his deity to fulfill his role as a man or to reach his destiny as our Savior. He could have, but he chose not to. Look with me at Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Luke 4, 1 through 13. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, And afterwards, when he had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. But Jesus said to him, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, All this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him and said, Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Before we go any further, let's just look at what that says. Jesus is speaking to the devil himself, and he's saying, basically, you want me to fall down and worship you so that you can give me the authority that was given to Adam. Let me tell you something. You need to fall down and worship me because you have an obligation to serve your God. Verse 9. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said to him, It has been said, or it is written, You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Jesus overcame the enemy by speaking the word and saying, It is written, quoting by faith the thing that was declared in the word. Just as it was in the beginning that Jesus spoke and the worlds came into existence, at his temptation he spoke, speaking the word, and caused the enemy to be put to flight until there would be a more opportune time, which never did come, by the way. There would have been no temptation of Jesus had he chosen to tap into that part of him that was God. You can't tempt the Lord your God. You can't. It's not possible. God can't be tempted. But Jesus had laid aside that part of him that was God and had become man in his entirety. And therefore, he could be tempted. But he drew on the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Spirit and overcame the opportunity to be tempted. He chose to walk and live as we are required to walk and live. He did it, like us, in the image and likeness of God, empowered by the Holy Ghost. As a matter of fact, he could have avoided the cross and the passion. He could have called angels to deliver him, but he chose not to do it. He could have, but he chose not to. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. He could have operated in the God part of him and made things different. But there would have been no fulfillment of what God had spoken had that been the case. No, Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. This is the hypostatic union. Why would he choose to embrace our lot on the earth? Why would he choose to live with the limitations that we have? Why would Jesus, God of the universe, God of creation, choose to lower himself to become just like us? It's a great question. It's one that we should know the answer to because it is the basis for our hope. He chose this path to fulfill his promise to be our Savior. In Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of man, the Bible said that it was the seed of the woman that would come and bring us redemption. In Genesis chapter 3, it was speaking about Jesus coming in the form of man to be our Savior. Looking at Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7, Galatians 4, verses 3 through 7, we see this. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. He chose the path that he did, becoming 100% man, that we might see that a man can live a life pleasing to the Father when he lives as the Father requires, full of faith and empowered by the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Jesus chose the path of manhood that he might demonstrate for us that we as men can live a life pleasing to God by faith, empowered by the Holy Ghost, and thereby be found pleasing in his sight and accepted into his family. We don't do what we do by our own strength, by our own talents and abilities, by our own creativity, by our own intelligence. We do it in the Holy Ghost by faith. That's how Jesus did it. That's how we have to do it. Jesus chose the path that he did to demonstrate to us what the Father intended at creation. That man could manifest the image and likeness of God. That we too can think like God and act like God. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them. And then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Jesus came and fulfilled, by walking as a man, the prime mandate that was issued at creation and is the representation that we look at to see what it means to be in the exact image and likeness of God. He thought like God. He acted like God. He was the exact representation of God in the earth. And he calls us to be just like him. Man's mandate is to reproduce the image and likeness of God. If that were simply about sex, then it should have easily been accomplished. But instead, we have to teach people. Jesus said it this way. Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them everything that I've commanded. Jesus called us, believers, to go forth and reproduce his image and likeness through discipleship, just as we were called in the beginning to reproduce his likeness throughout all creation. Adam failed at it. But we can be a success because we have the example before us of Jesus, who was empowered by the Holy Ghost, who was able to walk in faith, who was able to see all that the Father intended come to pass because he did it God's way. Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. This is the hypostatic union. If you have any questions, be sure to write them down and get them to me. I will be more than happy to work with you to find the answers and to make sure that you have full understanding of what it is we're talking about. Now let's pray. Father God, help us to see with seeing eyes, to hear with hearing ears, to know who Jesus is in reality, 100% God, 100% man, and to somehow wrap our brains around what that means and how we then should live following his example. We ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen.